Starting today on the Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, a number of sugyas jammed into these few lines, but we're going to do just two today and tomorrow. Today I'll kind of relate to two different sugyas within this one shir. But the Gemara is talking about, the Mishnah is first talking about that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of the takanas he made was that the Sheyei Yom Hanaf Kula Asa, the day, the 16th of Nisan, which is the day the Karban Omer is brought, the entire day it should be Asr to have any Yashan. The Yashan is only permitted the day afterwards. So the Gemara asks, why is that the case? If there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then it goes based on the sunrise. It should be the 16th morning it should be permitted. Why it should be Asr the whole day? And if there was a Beis HaMikdash, we have a klal that the Beis Din wouldn't be lazy, and they ensure that the Karban Omer would be brought by Chatzos. So if there's a Beis HaMikdash, the Karban Omer is Matir. That's at latest Chatzos. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, so the day itself, Etzem HaYom HaZeh, is Matir, which is sunrise. Why would Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai make such a takana that the entire day of the 16th is Asr? It's inaccurate. And so the Gemara says, because there's a possibility, when was the Beis HaMikdash built? Maybe it was built the night of the 16th, and the Ibn Bechamesar, Samach Shishkiah, or really the 15th, going into the 16th night, and by Shkiah, or Yinami Divni Belailo, or perhaps at nighttime, and there wouldn't be enough time to bring the Karban Omer to prepare the Katsira and all that which was needed. So maybe that year, or that day of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bai Shlishi, that one time, the Karban would be delayed, even though in general, the Karban Omer would never be brought past Chatzos, but if that particular year, the Beis HaMikdash is built either Erev the 16th, which really mean the Yom Tov Rishon of Pesach, or the night of the 16th, there's just not enough time, and it would be brought much later in the day, and therefore he asered eating the Yashan until the entire day of the 16th passed. That was the Gemara. So, now there Rashi asks the question. Rashi says, Vim Tomar, if that's the case, Heichi Mishkachas la d'ibnei b'chamesar, b'Yom Tov, u'd'ibnei b'leila. How is it possible you could build the base of Mikdash on the 15th, on Yom Tov? Or a nighttime, Leil the 16th. So, Vaha Kaimalan, the Gemara in Shavuos, Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Lo B'Yom Tov, Lo B'Laila. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash at nighttime, nor can you build any Yom Tov. So, tomorrow we're going to discuss the Inyan and B'Laila. Today we're going to discuss Yom Tov. How do you build the Yom Tov, the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov? And so, here is where Rashi writes a famous line, Hani Mili Binyan B'Yidei Adam. Only a binyan built by Bnei Adam is usher to be built on Yom Tov. Aval binyan ha'asr lavo b'dishemayim hu. Bai Shlish is going to come down from Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by the mitzvahs. The Rashi doesn't say all that, but that's implied. And as you saw in the Ravan, Ravan says, binyan basav adam sheyesh lo lishmor gzeirosov mitzvosov shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You and I, mankind, we have to listen to the gzeiros, the mitzvahs, from Hashem. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu tziva v'eina mitzuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the mitzvahs, he gives the edicts and gzeiros and whatnot, but he's not bound by them. So since the Bai Shlishi is coming from Shemayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, in essence, is building Bai Shlishi, he does not need to follow the halachas, and it can be built on Yom Tov. So let's just go on that discussion just for a little bit, about this concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeping the mitzvahs or not keeping the mitzvahs, and then we'll bring it back to the building of the Bai Shlishi. So some of you were able to find and locate the Das HaKadim. It was not in the Mar Makomos. Again, the person who did it, I don't know who did it, but thank you, someone did it. And he guess you couldn't find the Das HaKadim. So some of you had a chance to see it, so I have it here on my computer, the Das HaKadim. So Das HaKadim raises the following question. There's an Isser, the Mar Avodah Zarah tells us, that you're not allowed to mention a name of an Avodah Zarah. You can't mention a name of Avodah Zarah. Whatever the Avodah Zarah names are, you can't mention that name. Yet, the Torah tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klai Yisrael where they should walk, the journey they should take, he mentions Baal Tzifon. Baal Tzifon is a type of Avodah Zarah. So how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention the name of Baal Tzifon, the name of Avodah Zarah? Asr la'adam lomar l'chavero, himtin li b'tzad Avodah Zarah plonis. Wait for me by that idol. Wait for me by that Avodah Zarah. It's Asr. So how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu say this? It's a tzarchin. And what the Das HaKadim answers is that v'li nira d'dafke l'adam. It's only us, or it's only forbidden for man to mention the name of Avodah Zarah. Abal HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo. Sherei matzinu she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev v'danis kol olam afilu b'Shabbos v'il b'Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaKippur. Hashem sits and he judges the entire world on Shabbos. He judges the world on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah. We discussed the Kedushah Levi yesterday. That was part of the, was alluding to in yesterday's discussion about keeping, you know, Hashem judging on Shabbos, not judging on Shabbos. But either way, Hashem judges every single day of the year. So, Afa Pisha Yisrael Asa, even though you and I, a Beis Din, cannot convene on Shabbos, on a Yom Tov, Kadosh Baruch Hu can, and he does. So there are a lot of questions in this. The reason why we can't judge on Shabbos is only Nisim Rid Rabbanan. Kadosh Baruch Hu maybe is not bound by Nisim Rid Rabbanan. Maybe you could say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash by Hashem, Ein Shvus L'Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a lot to be said here. But either way, the Das HaKadosh does write that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by mitzvahs, just like Rashi here. He even says, Rashi says it's the same thing, Rosh Hashanah as well. Hashem does not need to keep the mitzvahs. So let's just go through again, a general discussion, some interesting sources, whether Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps the mitzvahs or not the mitzvahs. There's a Medrash Tanchuma, Parsha Kisisa. And there, the Gemara records a discussion between Tanis Rapis and Rabbi Akiva. And he wants to know how come a Kadosh Baruch Hu violates Shabbos. So he says, what malachas, and Rabbi Akiva says, what malachas is a Kadosh Baruch Hu doing? So he says, well, you know, he moves things with the wind, the branch is over there, then he moves it over there. He moves things around on Shabbos with the wind. And he makes the rain come from Shemaim down below. A lot of Hotzah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu violates on Shabbos. That was the question. Now it's a Medrash, we don't have to take it at face value per se. But what Rabbi Akiva answers back, he says, Yodei ani she'ata baki b'tarasan shel Ivrim, I know you're an expert. And what's the din of a person is in one chatzer, and he makes an Erev to go to another chatzer, he's allowed to carry to two chatzeros. Because by him making an Erev, he is the full owner of that Shnei Chatzeros. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lefi She'ein La'achar Rishus Imo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he owns the entire world. It's all one big Chatzer for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no violation. It's a very, very interesting conversation and dialogue. But what we see from the Medrash is that Rabbi Akiva is defending that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does keep the mitzvahs. And we have many, many Gemaras that talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps various mitzvahs, the Gemara in Brachos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meniach tefillin every single day. The Gemara talks about which parshios are found in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin. The Gemara tells in Brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens every single day, which is a very strange thing. Who does he daven to? He davens to himself. That's a connection of what does tefillah mean. Each of these marmakomas have a lot to be said in Machshava. There's a fascinating Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin Dav Vav Mabeis records in Machlokas what happened with the Pelegish Begiva. Pelegish Begiva was a maisa that the Pelegish was sent away, led to a whole big fight and war. But something about the husband of the Pelegish had disgusted him, and he sent the Pelegish home. So the Gemara says, what happened? What did the husband see in the Pelegish that bothered him? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Avyasar says that there was a bug or a fly that was on her, and that he sent her away. And Rabbi Yonah's son says that he found a hair on her that disturbed him, and he sent her away. That's a machlokas in the Gemara. So one time the Gemara says, Ashkecha Rabbi Avyasar l'Eliyahu Hanavi. The one time Rabbi Avyasar was ochet to Gilui Eliyahu Hanavi, so he saw him. And we have a few places in Shas where they encounter Eliyahu Navi. And the question that oftentimes is asked to Eliyahu Navi is, Mai ka'avid HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at this very moment? So fascinating. The Gemara says, Eliyahu responds, Osik b'pilegesh b'giva. He's learning the sugya of pilegesh b'giva. So Rabbi Avyasar got so excited. He said, me and my chaver, Rabbi Yonatan, have a machlokas, what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning the sugya. So, yo, tell me, what's he saying? What's pshat? What happened in the maisa? Was it the hair? What was the bug? Which one happened? This is a Gemara in Gittin. It sounds like a chasidish maisa. It's a Gemara in Gittin. So he says, Eliyahu Navi says as follows, Mai kamar, amrle, ev yasar bini kachu omer. This is Hashem speaking. Eliyahu is quoting Hashem. Hashem says, ev yasar bini, my dear child, kachu omer, and Yonasan bini, kachu omer. So, very, very strange. So he says, Chas v'shalom, he says to Eliyahu Navi, Mi ika sveika kame shmaya. The suffix in Shemaim, what happened? Hashem doesn't know which one happened? He wasn't sure if it was the hair, if it was the fly? He says, no, of course Hashem knows what happened. Elu ve'elu. Divrei Elokim Chaim. This is one of the few or three places or so where this is mentioned in Shas. First, there was a bug that didn't bother him so much, but then he saw a hair and that he was makbid and sent her away. Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. So what's fascinating about this Gemara is so many things. One thing is fascinating that Kadosh Baruch Hu quotes the Amoraim down here. You have to quote them. This pre-existed. They're coming to the world, yet he's quoting them. That means when we're learning, Kadosh Baruch Hu is quoting our words of Torah, which is fascinating. Those who've learned Nefesh HaChaim perhaps understand this. Those who have not, sure learned Nefesh HaChaim, and you'll see that what we do down in this world, we somehow trigger things up in the Elyonim. So when we learn, it could be only Tzadikim like Rav Yossi and Rav Yonasan, but Mestam, everyone who learned the Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow is quoting, learning from what we're saying. And the other thing is that Kadosh Baruch Hu learns every single day. He learns the Torah. He learns Tanakh. The Gemara about the Zohar tells us in Daf Gimel Amud Beis that there are 12 hours during the daytime, and it describes the Seder Hayom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Osek B'Torah. The second set of 3 hours, he's busy judging the world, and then he goes on to, he judges the world, and he gives him Parnasa and a whole Seder Hayom. The last 3 hours, he's Yoshev Masachek Imlav Yasan, whatever that means, he somehow, he plays sports, I don't know if it means he's playing tennis or basketball. Obviously, that would be belittling to say such a thing. But he's somehow Mesachek Imlav Yasan. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns every single day. He wears tefillin, he davens, he learns, he does everything that we do. We'll do one more Gemara on this sugya, then we'll get back to the main sugya here. It's a fun sugya here. But the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, Tesamun Aleph, that one time a min, a tzaduki, a pikoros, saw Rabbi Abohu. And Rabbi Abohu, he asked Rabbi Abohu the following. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Kohen, a number of sources that he was a Kohen. And when it says that he buried Moshe Benu, how did he become Tahor? He became Tameh when he buried Moshe Benu. So what made him Tahor? So if you're going to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dipped into the mikvah, well, the Pasuk says that all the waters in the world fit in Hashem's palm. Hashem cannot fit into the waters. He's too large. So he says, so the answer is that Rabbi Bahu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu immersed in the fire. A fire could accomplish what a mikvah could accomplish, but you and I cannot live in a fire, so we have to resort to water. Kadosh Baruch Hu is unaffected by the fire, so he was matar himself in the fire. Fascinating dialogue also. So obviously Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps Tumah V'Tahara. So Tosa asks a question. Tosa says, wait a second. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is really a Kohen, how is he able to bury Moshe Benu? A Kohen can't be matame lemes. Tosa asks this question. Tosa says, that's not a problem, because Yisrael nikru banim l'makom. A Kohen could be metame to his children. So the children, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the children, my children, are Klai, so Moshe Benu. So others say that he's a meis mitzvah, no one knew where he's buried. Either way, there's a lot more to say on this topic, but we see that there's a big machlokas within the different sugyas, and the Rishonim and the Achronim, whether or not Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps the mitzvahs or doesn't. And this Rashi, this Ravan, is one of the very important marmakomos that says that he does not keep the mitzvah. Now let's go back to our main show, which is about the building of the Bayis Shlishi. So you had a chance to see, we learned together, that Rashi clearly writes that Bayis Shlishi is coming from Shemayim. But the Rambam argues in Beis HaBechira, all the Achronim point this out, he writes that he lumps together the Binyan Shlomo of Binyan Bayis Rishon and Binyan Bayis Sheni, the times of Ezra, and the Binyan Lasalavo is also going to be built. Not that it's going to come from Shemayim, like Rashi says, but it's going to be built Ayidei Adam. So that's a very, very important machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Now the Shari Tshuva in Siman Mem Ches is not in front of you. He points out that perhaps the different nuschos we have in the various parts of Tfilas, we say sometimes Sheibane Beis HaMikdash B'mehir Yameinu, or Mehira Sheibane Beis HaMikdash, or Tibane. He quotes in the Shari Tshuva there that based on the Chida, that some had the nusach Mehira Sheibane, but some have the nusach she'tibane. So what's the difference, tibane versus yibane? So he says, if you assume that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it down from Shemayim, he's going to build it, it should be she'tibane. You Hashem, are you building it? If it's yibane, it will be built. It will be built somehow. So he says the nusach might hinge on whether Bnei Adam are building it or whether it's going to be built from Shemayim. Now, the Aruch HaNer, which you hopefully had a chance to see, had a number of questions on Shitas Rashi. He asks Number one is, in terms of the Nusach as well, he says that the Nusach should not be Yibane, rather it should be Yigal. I think that was the question he raised, right? He says that it should be Yigal, it should be revealed. Now that question is not so strong because it might be built by Shemosa. Yigal means it already exists. Maybe Akash Baruch Hu is going to build it and bring it down. But the stronger question he had was really in Rashi himself in the Gemara and Sukkah. And the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis tells us that there were four harashim, four carpenters, four workers. And the Gemara explains who are they. They quote from Rabbi Shimon Chasida, that's Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Eliyahu, and Kohen Tzedek. These are the four carpenters. And what type of carpenters are they? So Rashi says there, Mashiachim Shneim, both Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, are harashim lebinyan base hamigdash. They are going to do the carpentry in the base hamigdash. I'm not sure by themselves, with others as well. But either way, they worked. They will build the base hamigdash. It's not coming from Shemayim. So that's a question he asks in Rashi. So any answers? Any answers? How to reconcile the steer, whether or not it's bidei Adam or bidei Shemayim? On one hand, Rashi clearly writes in Rosh Hashanah and also in Sukkah that Mem Aleph is coming from Shemayim. But here, the Rashi in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis writes that Mishichim, the Ne'adim, are going to be building. How do you reconcile this?
I was thinking maybe you could say that they would kind of like put down a foundation because like it probably wouldn't just be plopped down on like Harabayis, like on the ground. They would probably have to like lay cement or something. I don't know. So maybe something like that.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. It could be. Okay. Hey, David. So we call them Bnei Adam, but let's say for Rashi, Rashi says it's coming from Shemayim. So Mashiachim, whether they're Bnei Adam or Bnei Elokim, whatever you call them, they're still in this world, though, as opposed to up in Shemayim. So, yeah.
Can you quote an image that there's two Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash Mal is going to come down to Har, so the part that they're doing the carpentry on, that's the Lamata one, and Hashem breaks down his...
Excellent. That's what the Aruch HaNer, that's his suggestion. He says there are two Vatei Mikdash. There's a Beis HaMikdash Gashmi and the Beis HaMikdash Ruchni. There's a physical Beis HaMikdash and there's a spiritual Beis HaMikdash. So he writes that Lasa Lavo, what it means is going to come down from Shemayim. That's referring to the Ruchnius type of Beis HaMikdash. But the actual physical Beis HaMikdash will be built Ayidei Adam. That's how he explains it. This particular machlokas. He says it's compared to a neshama into a body, a neshama into a guf. There's a physical element, and then there's a spiritual element. He said there's an eish shel hedyot, that the kohen had to light a fire in the mizbeach. There's also an eish in shemayim, which is a spiritual type of eish. So everything in the world has a physical, there's a spiritual. So the Beis HaMikdash is no different. So Rashi's talking about here, apparently, it's hard to really say this in Rashi, but I guess how you fit everything in, Rashi must be talking about the spiritual piece that comes from Shemayim without the physical element, which is, again, hard to really read in Rashi, but that's how the Aruch HaNer explained it. Any other suggestions you have? So there are two other suggestions that I came across in the different Achorim. One of them, maybe you didn't pick up or maybe you didn't see it yet, was the Tiferes Yisrael we'll get to in a second. But the Kloizenberger writes in Divrei Yatsev, he writes as follows. He says, this is found in Choshen Mishpat Simen Pei Zayin. He says that maybe it depends on how, by Shlishi, how the Geula, how Mashiach is going to come. There are two ways the Geula could come. What are the two ways? Anyone know the Gemara Sanhedrin, Chelek?
That we bring it, or it comes by year 6,000 or something?
Yeah, so what's the phrase used? Be'ita en Ba'achi Shena. The Gemara points out Achishana means it comes quickly. Bita means it comes in the right time. So if we're Zoche to earn the Gula on our own, that's called Bachishana. We usher in the Beis HaMikdash on our own merit. Bita means time has expired, the year 6000 or something like that. Time has expired, and it comes Bita in the right time. Those are two different approaches. they actually made Afkaminas by this. It's a beautiful Turi Evan. in our Masechta, maybe Daf Yud Aleph or so, that talks about the two different types, how they come. The Gemara says, just point out, just Mar Malkum for you guys as well. The Gemara says, just like this Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, when the world is created, there's also Machlokas when the Gula will come, Nisan or Tishrei. However, there's another Gemara in Ervin, which indicates that it could come any other day of the year. Lav Dafka, Nisan Lav Dafka Tishrei. So they figure out how to answer this. But one of the suggestions, I think the Tur Evin says this, not the Tur Evin, it's the Nesivas, and Shulchan Aruch suggests this in Hakdama, that Be'ita and Bachishana. Be'ita, in the right time, that's going to be Nisan, that's going to be Tishrei. Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, that's year 6000, Nisan or Tishrei, respectively. If it's going to become Bachishana, it could come any day of the year, any day, it all depends on when we're Zochet. So there are two different paths in which the Mashiach could come, which would mean the Beis HaMikdash could come in two different paths. Be'ita Bachishana. So based on this, the Kleisenberger explains that's the two different opinions. He's not quoting with the Rashi, but the Machlokas and the Midrashim, the different sources, whether it's be the Adam or it's going to come be the Shemayim, that depends perhaps how it's going to come. So he says, if it's going to come, it's going to come Bibichina Zachu as Zachu, that we're Zocha to it. So then he says, we're going to build a brand new Beis HaMikdash. You and I are going to build it. B'nai Adam, we earned it, we're going to build it. Are they Adam? But if we're not Zocha to have it come early, rather it's going to come Be'ito, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to just plop it down. You can just plop it down. Now, it sounds a little counterintuitive. You would imagine if we earned it, it should come from Shemayim. And if we didn't earn it, we should really work on it. So, to answer that, I think maybe we'll wait until Sunday's Shir. Sunday's Shir, we're going to talk a little bit, remind me if I forget, we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios, because Shavas Batama's Luchos were broken. We're going to discuss that element, and the Indian of Amelus Batorah, and Amelus and everything in life. That's to remind me, if I don't touch upon this, we'll touch me, I'll make a suggestion as to why it's actually a higher level when it's built by the Adam, as opposed to coming from Shemayim directly. But either way, the Kleisenberger says that the two paths in which the Gula could come, which might then dictate and indicate the two paths in which the Bai Shlishi should be built, whether it be the Adam or be the Shemayim, and not necessarily that's what Rashi means, but again, this is at least two different tracks. But the Teres Yisrael, he makes a different suggestion. The Teres Yisrael, in the beginning of Maseches Midos is the last Masechta of Seder Kadshim. It's lumped together with Maseches Tamid. The truth is, if you look at the Dapim, the way the Dapim work, they start in Maseches Me'ila, and then it goes on to Maseches Kinim. The Dapim continues. It doesn't start Daf Beis in Maseches Kinim. It continues to go like Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet. Continues on to Maseches Tamid. And Maseches Midos, it's all like lumped together from Beis, Lamed, Hey or so. It starts from Me'ila, Kinim, Tamid, Maseches Midos. Maseches Midos is all the way to the end. Maseches Midos describes the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, the various rooms, and the Lishchos, and the Chatzeros. So the Teres Yisrael asks the question, why do you have to have this? Who cares about this? According to Rashi, it's coming from Shemayim. You and I don't have to be Ozek in this. It's not relevant. We're not building the Beis HaMikdash ever again. According to Rambam, I understand. We have to know how to build the Beis HaMikdash. So we need to know the dimensions. We need to know the Tzurah, the Kelim, and the Lishchos. So it's very relevant for the Rama. For Rashi, what's the point in for Rashi to understand how it was built? So what he writes is, he says, Afagav the binyan ha'asid even bidei shemayim elav, like Rashi says, but according to the Rambam, this limud makes sense, because it's l'man yedu eich yivnu, how we should build, we have to know. But then he says, I don't like Rashi's shot. It doesn't make any sense. It's divrei agada, and divrei agada ain lemeidim imenu. We don't learn from divrei agadata, though it's interesting. None of you guys are on the Katz Kolo yet, but when you get to Smicha and you learn Rav Shechter's Katz Kolo, so during the year of learning 40 blad or so, there's always going to be some agadata that's going to appear over the course of 40 daf. And Rav Shechter likes to try to ask questions, at least one shaila from the agadata, but it's usually a halachic question from the agadata. So sometimes, So hidden within Agata are halachic questions. I recall one, the Gemara Sanhedrin, we learned many years ago. So the Gemara is talking about how Rabbi Eliezer was wearing tefillin, and they came to visit him. He took the tefillin off, and they had a shaila. And he had asked a question that no one knew, because it was based on the Tosfos Moed Katan, which we weren't learning. But he wanted to know, based on the sugyas, where do you see a raya from the shaila, whether menuda, one who's placed in nidoy and chayrim, whether he wears tefillin or not. So the Gemara in Moed Katan talks about whether menuda wears tefillin or doesn't wear tefillin. The Gemara doesn't have an answer. But Tosfos Moed Katan refers to the Gemara Sanhedrin that Rabbi Eliezer, who was in nidoy, he was wearing tefillin, so you see that you wear tefillin even when a person is in nidoy. So that was an agata, a little story, but yet we learn halacha from that agata. But generally speaking, we say, ein divrei agada, ein lemedim. So the Tiferes Yisrael rejects this idea of Rashi. That's not coming from Shemayim. So what it means is that Rotzolomer Shekadosh Baruch Hu Yisayim B'derach Neis Shivnu. That while we are building it, so then Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to somehow miraculously help us, support us, whatever that means. I don't know how, but there'll be some combination of Bnei Adam and a lot of Siyata Deshmaya B'derach Neis from Shemayim. That's how he explains. And that would explain Rashi as well. The Rashi is Mashiach. Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef will physically build it, but it'll also come from Shemayim, a certain Siyata Deshmaya from Shemayim. That's how he reconciles this stira within Rashi. So we have a few different explanations within Rashi. Either there's going to be a guf and a shama, or there's going to be two different tracks, if we're zocha, if we're not zocha, be'ita, be'echishana, or like the Tiferes Yisrael suggests, that there's going to be combined together, fusing together, bidei adam, bederech neis. Everyone's good? We're okay? Everyone understands? Excellent. So now let's finish off with one last shaila. One last shaila, we start off initially with Rashi. The Rashi says that he asks the question, how is it possible that the Gemara could suggest that the Beis HaMikdash will be built on Yantif, when it's still Yantif before sun has set, right? The 15th of Nisan is still Yantif. Gemara suggests that maybe before Shkia they built the Beis HaMikdash, and there wasn't enough time to bring the carbon. So, how could you build the Beis HaMikdash on Yantif? So Rashi says, it's not we're not building it, HaKadosh Baruch is building it. It's coming from Shemayim. But then we have to ask the question, what about for the Rambam? Rambam, who clearly says it's Bidei Adam, so how is he going to answer this question? How is the Adam able to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Shlishi, on Yantif? How is Rambam going to explain this? So, very interesting, Miri. You got, yeah?
We were just wondering, Nick Seder, that seems like it would take much longer than half a day or 24 hours to build the Beis HaMikdash. So, if we don't necessarily know when Mashiach's coming, how would that happen? That, like, okay, he comes at this point, and then we build it, and then we have the Omer ready within, like, 12 hours, 24 hours.
Yeah, they say that like, in China they could build like a building in like in a day. They have like thousands and thousands of workers, something like that. I guess you know. I don't know. Certainly, if you plug in the Aruch HaNer and the Tiferes Yisrael and the Siyata Deshmaya and the Bederech Neis, that would also answer some of the questions. So practically, I don't know. I'm certainly not a construction worker. I'm not a architect or anything like that. But somehow we have to believe that this could happen in such a way.
He also says maybe we'll get the Nachrim.
That we're leading to that. Yeah.
We'll get some Chinese workers.
Right. So in this question, so how is it possible? How is it possible you could build a Beis HaMikdash on Yantif then? For the Rambam, if it's Bnei Adam. So the Meiri says that he gives two answers. He says it's almost impossible to understand the Gemara. He says, the Meiri, who always learns like the Rambam, he did not understand like Rashi. He understood that the Beis Shlishi will be built by Bnei Adam. So he says, Eif Shar Lahamida, there's no way to understand this Gemara, really. It must be a Das Yachid, this Gemara. So he kind of ignores it. Or he makes perhaps even a stranger suggestion that maybe what will happen is that Bezdin will make a mistake in the times of Mashiach. Unfortunately, many Bati Dinim are corrupt. And maybe the Bezdin, who is going to oversee this, will make a mistake. Not that they're corrupt. Maybe they just didn't know this Halacha, didn't know this Gemara. And they'll say, oh, it's okay to build it on Yantif. And there'll be a mistake. So it sounds like a very strange way to answer the Gemara, but that's what the Meiri had come up with. But the Tiferes Yisrael made a very, very creative suggestion. And what the Tiferes Yisrael explains is that Joseph just pointed out. He says, Yesh lomar shivnu nachrim. Perhaps the goyim are going to build it on our behalf. Shenemar v'amdu zarim v'rod sonchem. It's quoting a pasuk. It's quoted this Gemara. And Pesachim quotes this pasuk as well. Those who learned Daf Yomi perhaps remember this. The Gemara there asks the question about Yemos Mashiach and Tchias Amesim. And the Gemara says that one pasuk says, Bal Mavis Lenetzach, that Mavis will be completely swallowed up. There will be no death anymore once Mashiach comes. But another pasuk says, we're going to live to 120. And there will be death at 120. So which one will it be? Will we live forever or will we live to 120? And the Gemara says, it depends who you're talking about. B'nai Yisrael will live forever. When Mashiach comes, Tchias Meisim, they'll never Misa ever again. But the Goyim, they'll have extended life, but it will expire at 120. So asks the Gemara, what are the Nachim going to be doing in the times of Mashiach? What do we need Nachim around for? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, this pasuk here, V'amdu Zarim, the non-Jews it refers to, V'rod Sonchem, they're going to work for us, they're going to be our shepherds, they're going to do other activities for us. So too he says, they're going to build a base of Mikdash. Gemara doesn't say this. The Tiferes Yisrael extends this to, they'll also build a base of Mikdash on behalf. Oh, but you're going to tell me, it says, Imishim lo lachem v'lanu liv no space alkenu. We have a mission, Shkama tells us that we're not supposed to. We and them cannot build it together. They cannot have any contributions to our Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Hainu bibonim mishalahem. They can't use their material, but they could use our material, use our funds, use our resources, and they could do the actual physical building. And he brings a raya that Shlomo Melech did the same thing, that he sent for Avadim to help in the Beis HaMikdash of Bais Rishon. And with this, he explains, even for the Rambam, you could build by Shlishi and Yantif with the Goyim. We have to ask a question, though. Yeah?
Are you not allowed to explicitly have Goyim to work for you on Shabbos
Yantif? Oh, so Amir L'Akam, I bring it back to the first year we had together. Amir L'Akam, Dinisser, to have a guy do work for you on Shabbos Yantif. So before we get to the answers, let's just explain the background for a second before I get to your suggestions of answers. But just background, just for a moment, because sometimes people don't understand this, that many people think Amir L'Akam only applies to Shabbos. Some people know it applies to Yom Tov as well. And Chol HaMoed, what? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that Amir L'Akam does not only apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov and to Chol HaMoed, but applies to every Issa D'Oraisa. The Gemara in Bava Metzia is talking about there's an Issa Tzi Mesares for an animal, to neuter an animal, an issa deraisa. The Gemara says you cannot even have a goy neuter on your behalf. If you buy a dog and you want to neuter your animal, you're not allowed to have a goy do it. It's a amir l'akam. So many Jews buy dogs and then they neuter it afterwards. It's a big problem, and a big shiloh. What one should do is they should buy one that's already neutered. Their eight is maybe to sell it to the goy. Being a veterinarian themselves, that itself is a problem for a Jew. There's a lot of shilohs with that. But either way, Amir L'Akam applies across the board to all Isurei D'Oraisa. So now the question you'd ask is, how is it possible to have a guy get, you can have a guy build for you during the week, on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but on Yom Tov, Amir L'Akam, how is that allowed? So let's have some suggestions. I saw some. David had a hand up, yeah? So that example there is talking about the writing you could have written on ksiva, which is nisar deraisa. We said the other day, shvus de shvus b'malka mitzvah. And nisar midrabanan onto another isar midrabanan is allowed b'malka mitzvah, but not to violate an isar midraisa. But from that Gemara and Gittin, they prove if there's a very, very big tzarech, like yishav Eretz Yisrael, you can even have a guy do a melacha deraisa on Shabbos Hayantav. So binyan, based on Mikdash, is certainly melacha deraisa. So you shouldn't have the heter of shvus to shvus b'malka mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's not shvus to shvus, but the Ramah brings down, based on the Gemara, shvus of malacha deraisa would be allowed with malkum tzar gadol, with the tzibur, so you could take that approach. That could be one approach. Yes, Akiva, I think you made another suggestion. So I wouldn't even say that point, but ein shvus b'mikdash. There's no shvus b'mikdash. We certainly learned yesterday, ein shvus b'mikdash, and it doesn't even count, it doesn't even register. Because this is certainly tzorach, this is the base of Mikdash, So maybe you could invoke that concept, Ein Shvus Mikdash, and therefore allow them to build it on Yantif. Any other suggestions? Those are the two I thought of. Yeah, Daniel.
It's very so he's about to say that the Goyim are allowed to go into the Chel, even though it's Nisar Rabbanim, because for Tzarech Gevay, the Bnei Samikdash Vadei Dachi Daraisa Lid Rabbanim. Maybe you could say that about the Amir Lachim also.
Yeah, could be. Seemingly that would be the same idea. So he goes on to say that there's a different in the area of the Chel, which is one of the areas you can't walk into, which is an Isser Midirabanim. So he says, let's find that line here. Mishum Tzarech Gavoa Livnos HaMikdash Vadai Dacha Deraisa Derabanim. So that would be along the same lines what we suggested, that Ein Shvus HaMikdash or perhaps Shvus Deraisa B'Malka Mitzvah. All these I think would go nicely. Very good. Excellent. Okay, any other suggestions before I recap? Any questions? Any thoughts? Okay, so what we did today quickly was that we start off talking about the Rashi that says Bai Shlish is coming from Shemayim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu does not need to keep the mitzvahs, like the Ravan says clearly that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tziva, v'einu mitzuva. We brought Tosas Das Kenim and said the same thing, that's why he's able to say Baal Tzafon. We brought a number of other sources where Kadosh Baruch Hu does keep the mitzvahs, whether it's tefillin, or Limud HaTorah, and in other cases as well. And then we went to discuss the Rambam, who holds differently than Rashi, that Bai Shlishi is built Hayidei Adam, and that Nusach of Tibane versus Yibane might depend on if we're building it, or Kadosh Baruch Hu is building it. We noted a Stira and Rashi and Sukkah, who says that the Mashiachim are going to be building the Beis HaMikdash, which goes against what he writes here in Rosh Hashanah. So he suggested a few different answers. One is that maybe it's referring to as Aruch HaNer said, there's it's a gufan and a shama, a physical Beis HaMikdash, a spiritual Beis HaMikdash. We suggested perhaps, like the Kloisenberger, that maybe depending on the track, if it's something we're zocha to, so then maybe we will build it ourselves. If we're not zocha to it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to just drop it down. And then we had the suggestion of the Tiferes Yisrael that it's going to be in tandem, that Bnei Adam, Ayidei Neis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going to build it together. And then we finish off talking about the Shaila, of at least Rashi makes sense as to why you could build it on Yantiv because it's Hashem, but if we build it, Bnei Adam, according to the Rambam, what's the heter to build it on Yantiv? And we suggested that the heter perhaps is because, what the Tiferes Yisrael explained, is that because the Nachum will be building on our behalf. It's Amir L'Akum. Amir L'Akum is Aser and Shabbos and Yantiv. So we said either Ein Shvus B'Mikdash is allowed or Shvus Deraisa B'Malkum Tzar Gadol is allowed as well, similar to what Daniel pointed out at the end of the Tiferes Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here, and then tomorrow we'll discuss Nashim, women, and building Balayla. That'll be tomorrow's Shir.